It's time for Play It Forward, our musical chain of gratitude where we talk to artists about their music and the musicians they're thankful for. Last time, saxophonist Lakeisha Benjamin told us why she's grateful for the singer and producer James Blake.
The first time I heard James Blake, I felt like someone jumped inside of my body and hugged my soul. And I just knew it was going to be okay after that.
Well, we're going to James Blake next. What would you like to say to him?
I guess, James Blake, thank you so much for all you do for the community, for music. Thank you for being born, brother. Thank you for embracing the darkness. Thank you for embracing the light. And thank you for inspiring me and so many other people to do what we do and keep striving to be the best self you can be.
And James Blake joins us now from Los Angeles. Welcome to Play It Forward.
Hi. Wow. That was really... That was really touching. I wasn't expecting that at all. That was really, really touching. Wow. Thank you so much, Lakeisha Benjamin. I mean, wow. And that is, I mean, that's such high praise. And, you know, from someone who's worked with so many great people and is obviously killing it herself. Not something you hear every day, honestly. Someone saying something like that to you, a fellow musician. It's really, really wonderful.
She specifically said how much she appreciates your willingness to embrace the darkness and also embrace the light. And I wonder if that's how you see your music.
I guess it's complex, isn't it? I guess I've written a lot about depression in the past. I've genuinely... you know, made changes in my life to kind of support my mental health. And I think maybe it was a kind of an error of judgment on my part that songwriters could only write when they were sad. That's just how I approach things. I would wait until I was really feeling heavy about something and then I would write about it.
The track that you just released really reflects that evolution, I think. It's called You're Too Precious.
Yeah, I guess it does actually, yeah.
I don't think they... I don't think anyone could. I take the calls you don't want to. I take the hair in your food.
Tell us about this track.
Well, I wrote this about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Me and my girlfriend had been both going through something. Actually, independently, like two separate things, both of us feeling very stressed. She went off to write something, you know, and fix her issue, and I went and fixed mine in my own way by writing this.
So much of your music is layered and textured and produced. And since this lockdown, you've been doing these live sets on Instagram that are just you and a piano.
I'm gonna say what I need. If it's the last thing I do, I do, I do, I do. I'm in that kind of mood.
Are you discovering something new in this format?
You know what? Yeah, I think I am. I think I'm discovering... I mean, look, I haven't been on social media until pretty much January this year. This year, I really started to open myself up and be engaged. And I think that this is part of me being like, hey, like I know you guys have listened to me for upwards of 10 years. I want to do something to show that I appreciate that.
Is it more or less nerve-wracking when you don't have the stage lights, the roar of the fans, the trappings of a big show?
Honestly, when I first did the IG Live, I wasn't nervous at all because I didn't know how many people were going to kind of log on and view and watch it. And I saw this number rising on the, because every now and again I catch the number of how many people were in the thing, because obviously
it's
I'm
like
just sat there looking at my phone while
of people.
It went up to 30K, and I was like, this is, you know, like, I'm not Tory Lanez, you know what I mean? Like, I know, like, no one's twerking, like, no one's, you know, popping bottles. Like, there's just going to be a few people. And then The next time I did it, I was terrified, honestly.
I wouldn't do this on my own, but I'm not on my own tonight.
Yay!
You don't have to say, you don't have to clap.
Well, James Blake, it is time for you to choose someone whose music you are thankful for and keep moving this train forward. Who would you like to tell us about?
Well, after much deliberation, I decided to play it forward with Mala from the group Digital Mystics.
Tell us about him for people who haven't heard of him.
So for people who haven't heard of Mala, Mala was one of the originators of what we came to know as dubstep. It was kind of an amalgamation of dub and two-step garage. But the thing that got me into producing in the first place was listening to Mala.
Is there a track we can play to give people an introduction to this music?
I've picked this track called Hunter by Mala, which I think is one of his best.
What influence did this have on you as a young up-and-coming musician?
If you listen to Mala, you're basically getting like a masterclass in minimal drum programming and sort of one note or like one finger. He called it himself. He said it was his one-finger symphony.
Almost like what Philip Glass was doing in the classical music space, he was doing in the dance music space.
Yeah, I think so. He sort of expanded my imagination about what dance music could be and how intricate and how interesting, but at the same time, completely primal it could feel.
We're going to go to him next. So what would you like to say to Mala?
I'd like to say, honestly, thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's hard to put into words what your music did for me. And then also to meet you and to become friends with you and to find out that you're just this completely unique sort of person and extremely giving person. It just, you know, it confirmed, you know, you really should meet your heroes.
Well, James Blake, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll talk with Mala on the next episode of Play It Forward.